glad as night. So the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and runs.
Baby, you've been rolling solo. Time to get down with the team. The grass is greener on that other side.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution. And joining me today is Fiona.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, same old for me. So just another normal Thursday night. Work is work tomorrow, just as per, unlike you and the majority of people.
Yeah, sorry about that. Are we thinking of you when I'm doing nothing?
Actually, yeah, I'm sure you will be.
I won't think of you. But been a big week. So Fiona's forecast, I should say, round three. And look, I'm not going to go into the whole Peter Wright thing and the Sydney thing. I think we did it to death.
I will just say I have to commend you and the other guys as well, but you in particular, your rant, your opening rant about Sydney and that little shit was so therapeutic for me. I listened to it, I think, three or four times. It's all I needed. It's all I needed. It was exactly how I felt, and you just emphasised every point and just emphatically summed up, I think, how everyone was really feeling towards them as a whole and individually. So thank you for that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
No worries. I mean, it is kind of our wheelhouse, providing therapy in times of trouble. And, yeah, so when we had the Peter Wright thing, look, all I'll say is I'm just disappointed. And the one thing I will say, I don't swallow the line that was kind of peddled by the club. Oh, we're lucky he didn't get six or seven or more weeks. Aren't we lucky we got four? I understood pleading guilty. I didn't understand some of the points made, and I think we over finessed and maybe we're just trying to be a little bit too cute, in my opinion. But have you got anything to say on that? I just feel sorry for Peter, to be honest.
Look, I will say, and I've alluded to on this podcast before, I have a rating, and aside from HEP, it's an informed rating system, and aside from Heppel, and you could probably put Andy McGrath in that, but aside from Heppel, Peter Wright is the kindest, most humblest person at the club, individual at the club. And there was absolutely zero malice in any of what he did, and this could not be happening to such a kind-hearted, aside from Hep, obviously, to a more kind-hearted person. And from the caring and just the individual point of view, I'm gutted for him, because he would have just been feeling sick, and we all saw it, you know, that he was clearly distraught. But just as a person, as a human, he's just such a good one. And it's just, yeah, I hate that it's happening to him. And from a team's perspective, that 4 weeks of chemistry that could have been building, that we were already seeing kind of in 2 weeks blossom, and that's 4 weeks less of chemistry that forward group is going to build. And it just sucks big balls. That's all I'll say. And I agree with you. I think our defence was poor. I think it was pathetic, actually, to be quite honest. I mean, he had surgery on his shoulder last year, so he braced. Okay, well, I know we didn't hear the entire defence, but why not harp on his character, on his good history? I don't know. I'm no lawyer, so maybe this is a...
Just point to the facts of what happened and show the video. The video shows it really clearly. Had his eyes on the ball, guy runs into his path at the last
second. Human instinct to brace.
Yeah, braces.
Biology.
Yeah, anyway. But now we've done what we said we wouldn't do, which is analysed it.
Well, that was a quick...
I tell you what, before we get to all our segments, so we've got the Chichicha changes, Sitting Joe, Smoking Joe, we've got a couch question as well. Peter Wright, he was massive news on Tuesday. He was out of the news by the events
for once
of the last couple of days.
For once.
My God, what a mess. Do you want to describe it for anybody who's been living under a rock?
I mean, I, for one, was not shocked in the slightest. Absolutely not shocked. Absolutely. So
can you explain?
In a nutshell, Everyone's aware of the drug policy. That's WADA.
Yep.
Now, the WADA, that involves and includes illicit, performance-enhancing drugs.
Performance-enhancing.
So it comes under...
Can include some illicit substances which are considered performance-enhancing.
It can, but the main illicit ones we're going to be talking about, it does not. So cocaine, as an example. So the players comply with random strategic drug testing during season and off-season under the WADA code through the AFL. Now, what people did not know is that the AFL have their own policy, and they've created a policy that's been in for 2 decades, apparently. It's been in place for 2 decades. And basically, it allows, I think it has been anyway, I could be wrong on that, I don't know that number specifically, but anyway, that policy allows a player to, under the guise of mental health, to self-report. Now, I came on some new news. I came on some new details on this. Apparently, that is also random. Apparently, the doctors actually randomly test the players as well under this policy. But you can also go to a doctor yourself if you feel like you're going to... So, for example, Joel Smith from Melbourne, had he, instead of playing, had he just said to his doctor on the Thursday, look, I've taken something, I think it's in my system, they would have just put on the team sheet, Joel Smith had me out for a week. And he would, all of this would be, we wouldn't even know his name. So this policy that the AFL have created allows a player to self-report anonymously. The only person who knows is the doctor. The doctor is under oath, confidentiality, patient-doctor confidentiality, to not disclose that and to put it under the guise to lie to players, to lie to fans and to coaches about a medical issue.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure everyone knew about the AFL's kind of illicit drugs policy in general, because it's been roundly criticised. And the whole, I think it was virtue signalling.
Initially. So what part of this is shocking people then?
You're definitely, so we all knew that the AFL had its own 3 strikes, you're out policy. That's not part of any international framework. It's not part of WADA.
But that's not this policy either.
Well, I think it's related to this. So we have this illicit policy that's supposed to be, the AFL have basically said, I guess like some organisations can do, like any mining company will do, or logistics or an airline, they can test people on the job and you could have marijuana in your system, for example, and you can get sacked on the spot. So organisations can do this. I think the AFL decided to have this policy, again, to try and look good and show that it's proactive and we know it likes to be the saviour of the world. So I think everyone understood that. We understood the 3 strikes. We knew it was kind of a little bit dodgy. Like, no players.
There's been one in 20 years, yeah, I think. I saw, that's or right. 18, one in 18 years.
Yeah, one the
same time, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you hit on the nail on the head. What nobody had any idea about was that clubs would lie about a player being injured, which compromises the competition.
Completely.
Compromises.
Think how many strategies and things are put into place and work that is done on an opposition team when a list comes out or when the list drops. Like, and what fucking shits me, what I take umbrage to in this the most is that the AFL have created this policy that is so easy to take advantage of, that it's actually ignoring the whole point of it, which is to actually get and help the players who are actually on drugs for mental health. Instead, it's the players who are just having a bit of a line on an off week that are able to take advantage of this actual policy instead of the ones who are doing it to get through something and to get help and to avoid the media scrutiny. Because apparently there have been, and Gary Lyon reported on it this afternoon or this morning, saying there have been, a doctor was interviewed and said that there's a Hall of Famer who went to his doctor, went through the process, was going through a hard time, self-reported, was put down as had a hammy, was out for a couple of weeks, and then bang, turned his life around. But I would suggest in the similar vein, there's over 100 who have they're saying, or you know,
yeah,
allegedly over 100 who have done this.
Competition wide, sanctioned by the AFL apparently, and the big difference between like the airline or the logistics company or you know the mining company is you get sacked.
Yeah.
You don't just get
yeah.
a day off.
Yeah. Wow.
And
what
still
a life.
Get paid and get to come
what
back the following week.
Life. What a life. No. Nothing happens to them legally. If you get caught at a club or and you get drug tested on the side of the road, see you later. But nah, this is fine. I'll just go to my doctor on a Thursday, pretend I'm a bit iffy in the head. Bang, no problem. Coach doesn't know. Coach knows no different. Thinks I've done a hammy. What a life.
Yeah, but
that's
do
what
you
I
really
mean.
Believe that? Do you believe that bit? I don't know that I believe that bit.
I believe that coaches. I believe that doctors and coaches have such. I reckon they have such close-knit relationships. Like, I reckon I'm pretty close to you. I know when you're lying. Like, are you telling me a coach worked with a doctor, that's worked with a doctor for 20 years, doesn't know, can't tell if he's lying about a certain player? I don't think so.
No, and I don't think, I wouldn't think they even try and lie. But the one thing I'll also say, it's been a big week for trolls. So I've been getting so much heat.
Have you?
On Twitter. Sydney supporters.
What, they listen to the pod? They listen to your little rant?
Nah, it was yeah, possibly.
Imagine
possibly.
If I had.
Well, some of them have seemed to be taking careful note of what I'm posting. So maybe they are listening because there's lots of activity.
Uh-huh.
But then just flippantly, I sent out a tweet on Wednesday when the story broke and said, paraphrasing, but has anybody got receipts on Melbourne supporters calling us drug cheats?
That is so tame.
Exactly. God, it's super tame. They've been coming at me, and the theme has kind of been, particularly the last couple of days, well, fuck you. You are drug cheats, but this is competition wide. This is not particular to Melbourne. This is competition wide. But that's kind of proving my point. The whole actual point of the tweet really is you probably shouldn't be talking about other clubs unless you're completely sure that your house is in order. Unless you're completely squeaky clean and you're not in a glass house yourself. Then maybe throw a stone over the fence. But that was kind of my point, is that I think when it comes to these matters, just like supplements, because we know that some of those guys have been at Melbourne, Dank had been at Melbourne, just like this became an Essendon problem and the rest of the clubs just kind of forgot about their supplement regimes.
Yeah.
Then it looked like that might happen to Melbourne as well. But now it's quite clear it's organisation wide. I just think it's an absolute mess,
and it's a disgrace.
It'll test the resolve of journalists. We'll find out who's really a journalist and who's just a paid member of AFL marketing over the course of the next couple of weeks.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. I mean, if there's anybody not outraged by this, that's your first clue. Like, everybody should be disgusted by this. It's giving players reign to take advantage of a system that's so flawed, and to just take the mickey out of the competition, the supporters, it's ridiculous, to be quite frank.
Well, has Mother Teresa, aka Jared Waitley, said anything yet?
Dunno. I try and make it my mission not to listen to what that dickhead has to say.
I'll be very surprised if he goes hard on this.
Nah, of course not.
Like he has with other issues.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, it was good. It took us off the front page.
Oh, I think it was a gift from the universe to Peter Wright.
Yeah.
To just give him a break, the poor guy.
After slapping him down.
That's right.
Back up again.
That's right.
All right. So the changes. Where are we? So, to me, nothing surprising about the Inns, Redmond, Parrish, mm-hmm. and Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see Darcy back in particular. Having not. Yeah, well.
Cried wolf last week.
No, look, I think he'll be back. And yeah. We miss you. Omitted Sardis. I'm not surprised.
That's the Parrish effect. It's as simple as that. That's the Parrish effect. Yeah. And personally, I give Hods the knob ahead. If it's Hods versus Sardis who you drop, then I'm dropping Sardis. Not to say that I haven't been impressed with him, but he'll get his
go. That's right. Extremely young. He'll get plenty of football. Peter Wright suspended and Alwyn Davey Jr. omitted. Guess not a surprise, really. Although, before I throw to you, I'd say Jai Menzies a bit lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'd say probably Dersma might be a little lucky as well. And maybe Nick Hind as well. What do you think?
I think, yeah, Menzies is a good one. Although he did lay two very good tackles in the Sydney game, but that was probably all he did. And so he's going to want to have to lift his game. Mm. So he's very lucky, especially because Davey had such an impact in the 10 minutes that he played. That could have easily been a switch, to be quite frank. You'd think this is Menzies' last kind of chance to give it a real, have some real impact, and then you consider switching with Davey. Hind, I'm willing to give another week to find his feet. I know he makes everyone nervous, but I'm going to back him.
He makes himself nervous.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's why I'm willing to give him a week to settle. And I think he'll have a bit more fun come Saturday. And Dersma saw some much better signs last week, personally. He directly impacted multiple goals, in my opinion. In fact, set two up beautifully, just with pressure and work rate.
Did you see that on the replay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll defer to you then, because you do notice things on the replay that you don't.
Well, a couple of the goals were, I noticed it was him in real time, but yes, you take a bit more note on replay. And I'm not surprised. I thought, I knew all week that I'm getting very good at reading Mr. B. Scott, and you just knew that there was going to be no Jones and no Caddy. You just knew that they'd been setting Draper up to play a bit more forward all off-season, so... I think he'll just spend a bit more time forward, and particularly the opposition's probably come into it a bit. I don't think we'll be super stretched for height with the Saints' defence. In fact, they've got other skills up their sleeve, defence-wise and attacking-wise, so they don't necessarily rely on height too much.
They've probably got a lot of run that we need to shut down.
Lot of run from their back line. Lot of weapons in their back line. If we thought, look, I'm willing to say, you know how I said last week in the forecast that if we play how we played against Hawthorn, there's no way we'd beat Sydney. You know how I said that?
Mm.
So I'm willing to say that this week, if we play how we played last week, we will win. Because I reckon how we played last week, I'm willing to say that that beats most teams.
Interesting. What about the transition goals?
Despite the transition stuff, I reckon how we performed last week. Of course, we have to tidy that up. Don't get me wrong, but I reckon there was a super super red hot opposition. Personally, they were on turnover like a. I don't think it's going to be as crystal cut for most opposition.
Yeah, they're the form team of the competition. At the moment, as I said in the podcast, it is only round three.
Yes, you're right.
Or two, or whatever it is.
But well, who fucking knows?
Very, very early.
Yes.
And they do. I was going to say, speaking of lack of height, Max King suspended.
Universe taking care of us there, one for one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week. We need someone to get suspended.
Yeah.
Who are we playing? Play next week again. We're away, aren't we?
Port, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, we need someone to get suspended for that. Right, so yeah, the changes. Who do you think will be the sub, if you had to bet? And
maybe Hind. They might chuck Hind as a sub. Have some impact when he gets on.
We reckon. Maybe Menzies as well. Could be.
But if you put Menzies as sub, that's a very slow, big forward line then. Very slow and big.
Well, he's on the bench.
It's already, don't take any notice of that. I don't even look at that with on the team sheet. It makes no difference. It looks already a very slow, big, tall forward line to me.
Yeah. Well, so who have we got? We got Gresham.
I think Hind will be sub.
Okay.
Unless they put Cox, but I don't think you want to move Cox. I think you want to continue, give him some continuity, given that he's played pretty well.
I don't know. I mean, if Menzies plays like he did last week, he'll be a liability. But maybe kick up the pants is what he needs. We shall see. All right. So you're going to do the smoking, Joe.
Yep.
And I'm doing the sitting. Who have you got? Who's going to bob up and be like Smoking Joe Massetti and just star?
I'm going to go with Dersma, seeing as you put the heat on him. I'm going to back him to have run the cobwebs out, because that's my biggest criticism with him, fumbling. Every time he touches it, fumbling.
Yep. Yep.
But everything else, he's ticking all the other boxes for me. It's just got a bit of the butter hands. Maybe that's a bit of settling into the new system, new team, a bit nervous, you've got to prove yourself. So I'm going to back him to find some cement. Is that the same? What am I trying to say? Cement hands.
Find some
cement. I think I just made that saying up. Hey, anyway.
Will it be, if it's wet, drying cement, it'll be sticky. But if it's hard cement that's already dried, then it'll just bounce off. So it depends on the cement.
This analogy probably doesn't work, does it?
Not really.
Okay.
I've seen some players that have run like they've had cement shoes.
No, we don't want that. He's my pick.
He's your pick?
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I'm going to say... Oh, I'm doing sitting, yeah. You know who my nomination would have been for smoking?
Who?
Would have been Langford, because it'd be the complete focal point now. With Ride out.
Yeah. It's going to have to step up. And we know he does, and we know he will.
Right. Who am I going to pot? I don't want to, but it's what I think.
Well, go on. Since when have you shied away from saying what you think?
Because he's that one guy you mentioned who's number one to Peter Wright's number two of best bloke at the club.
Oh, no.
I think it's a day just because of the Saints' run and pace, and they do have that Ross Lyon-style pressure. I just think it's a day where Hep might get exposed a little bit.
But the run's coming out of the other side.
Yeah, but they also, they chase a tackle and they've got some good small forwards. And
they do have a, I'm quite worried about Higgins. I reckon he's had a brilliant start to the year, his first two games. I've watched both. And I did like your comment in the podcast. If the Saints are they bringing the four umpires with them?
Yeah, the Collingwood umpires.
Oh, we're fucked. If they BYO do, umps, man.
All you do is pay a bit of corkage and you get all the free kicks. It's great.
Wow. We're screwed six ways to hell if they have those umpires. That's for fucking sure. That was unbelievable. But no, they have, the thing about St Kilda this year so far, and it's a small sample size, is, you know, when you think of Ross Lyon, you think ultra defensive, but I reckon they've got,
that's right.
I reckon they've got layers. I reckon they can snap into, like, if they have to be offensive, they can be. But if they've got a lockdown, I reckon they can do that too. That's why they're a bit of a bogey I reckon, yeah, can't sleep on them. They've got their run from half-back, half-forward, I should say, out of our back line, our forward line, sorry, with Wilkie. He's going to – someone's going to have to hold him accountable, or he's going to mark everything all night, all day, all afternoon.
I just hate seeing a guy with Wanganeen in his name too starring at another club.
Oh, he's been brilliant. Yeah, it's painful, hey. He's been very, very good. Very, very good. But they're my – I reckon they're my danger – maybe that can be a new segment. My danger opposition players for this week are Higgins and Wilkie. Yeah, I think – I don't know who's going to play on – maybe King Cal can play on Higgins or maybe Butler. And Wilkie, someone's just going to have to make him accountable, whether that's Stringer. See, that's a good role for Guelphy. That's a great Guelphy role.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he just do to him what he did to Sicily.
Yeah, he takes those marks in defence. He mops up.
Well, he just makes them accountable, whereas he'll probably just roam now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat, but I am adamant if we play how we played last week with – it's a very simplified way of looking at it. You know how the architect said that they never zoom in. If they zoomed out, I could see where some Essendon players were.
Yeah.
Well, what if our players just pushed up? We just got more players to the contest. What if it's as simple as that whilst they're learning the instinct or bang off the mark and into transition? Because to me, it looked like Sydney just had that second, that flick of gut instinct to just switch into attack mode from stoppages, whereas we were half a second behind. So what if whilst they're learning that, we just push more players to the contest? Now, this could be that could be a very simplified view and it might not work. But a few times, especially watching the replay, I'm thinking if we just had more players at this contest and pressured the ball carrier, well, that's going to create some pressure, another ball up, a potential win. I don't know. Is that too simple?
I like your theory. I hope you're right.
There's got to be a reason they're not doing that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had this debate last week, just like we did the week before. I just worry we don't have enough run in our legs in the team.
So why not push players to contest? So why not just push more players to the contest and save them having to run? Instead, put it on the onus to win the ball back in the contest.
Yeah, I don't know if they're getting to the contest. You're talking about stoppages, are you?
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's,
oh, you're saying they're not even making it. That's why they're not even coming into space. They're not even making it.
Yeah, I just reckon, particularly like that third and last quarter, like I think there was a couple of 3-on-1s, 4-on-1s. I'm talking transition now again, but
that's because they haven't clicked into attack mode, and their minds are still. That's what it felt like to me. They hadn't actually clicked into attack mode to chase the player with the ball or to use the ball to run away. So whilst they're learning that instinct, why not just get more players to the contest and stop the ball from getting out? I know there's got to be a reason why it's not happening, as I'm sure somebody will tell me in a very mean way, but
oh, the experts out there.
Yeah,
and I'd say to them, our coaching staff haven't worked it out, so what makes them so smart?
It feels too obvious of a solution to be something the coaches haven't thought about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I look at our team. Okay, let me ask you if these guys are – I'll go through the team. Tell me if they're two-way runners. Now, some of them – I'll start from the full-back line. They don't need to be two-way runners necessarily.
No, don't even have to go through the back line.
Heppel, no. Mackay, no. Hind, yes. Should be a two-way runner.
I think he is, but I think he lacks capability above the shoulders, yeah.
Which, Nick Martin?
No, Hind. I think he does. He does two-way run. I just think sometimes he doesn't know when or why or how or where.
Does Martin?
Yes. On current evidence, 2024 evidence. No, but that's harsh because he's learning a new role.
I don't think it's harsh. I think it's truth. And I think this guy doesn't two-way run either, and he should. Redmond.
Oh, he's the biggest. He's the biggest offender of them all, I reckon.
Mm.
But the worst thing is when he's going to be when he's forced to match up on an opponent.
I almost wonder whether this week maybe Scott just says you're doing a job this week.
Well, you dropped. Like, it has to be that. It fucking has to be that. Why does he get away with just not?
Because I'm the big money.
Yeah, well, Brad Scott, you promised. You promised.
Anyway, this will take too long. I won't go through the entire team. But I think there's a lot of guys there that, possibly don't run both ways when they should. And I think some guys are just different type of players. Setterfield, Stringer, Langford.
Just caught out. I just think they're getting caught out as to, I don't even, they look like they don't know what to do. Like in some of the replays, the Sydney players were just, you blinked. It was half a blink and they were off on transition. Our players were in no man's land. So that tells me, and it's, I don't think it's about pace or fitness. I honestly think, or intent. That's why I think, I just honestly think their guts, their instinct is not clicking into gear fast enough.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how they go this week. All right. Sorry, Hep. I'll tell you what, I thought about Nick Martin too, by the way.
Yeah. But he's probably still got some.
He needs a good game this week.
He does. Maybe you should have done it just so it can reverse mods. But anyway, you've announced Hep yet.
All right. So did we just settle? Do we go to the game first or the couch? We go to the game first, don't we? All right. What's your prediction?
I think we'll win by 17. So just three-ish goals, I would say. Could be less, but I'm going to stay 17.
17?
Probably not more.
Yeah.
I just do not want to see Wilkie taking uncontested marks and dropping off. I don't want to see Stringer calling for cheapies. I want him to be making Wilkie accountable or someone.
He's not going to be accountable is my prediction.
I can cop a few transition, you know, oopsie daisies, but I just will not cop getting beaten by what you know. And that is that Wilkie is in great form, all Australian. He's doing the Tom Stewart role. You don't get beaten by what you absolutely know. And we didn't against the Hawks. We ticked that off, shut Sicily down, and you shut the back line down. So it needs to be done again.
Well, maybe that's Hobbs, I guess, as the de facto Guelphie.
No.
No.
No. Maybe they give Menzie that role. That's a good role to give Menzie. To say, to hope he watched Guelphie's tapes or someone better in a better team.
The conversation might be, hey, Menzie, see how you got like no possessions last week? Just do that to your opponent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just infect your opponent with your skill set and we'll be right.
Look, it's a hard position to play. We know that small forward. And he did have a very good rundown tackle. Spine chilling rundown tackle, but that's got to be tripled. He needs to do that three times a game.
Yeah. Well, I feel I love your confidence, but I think we'll lose. You said 17, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to lose by 17.
I knew you were going to say that. Because I know you so well. I can tell you. I can tell. I can read you like a book. Yes, 100% I can.
Yeah, I think St Kilda are like, they're a great early season team as well. Happened last year. kind of the Ross Lyon way. Having a lot with Fremantle. They're very good early. People get sick of his droning, whiny, boring voice.
Creepy.
And there's that too. but I haven't heard anything from any of the end of season functions last year, so we assume it was all okay.
Although, you don't hear a lot of off season stuff. Tell you what.
No, that's right. I just think they're up and about. They're confident.
I'm looking forward to getting them at Marvel. I want to see how we differ because, as we know, we played them at the G last year for their 150th or 100th, whatever it was. I'm looking forward to getting them at Marvel.
They're one fucking premiership.
Yeah. That was embarrassing. Anyway, you can only celebrate what you got.
That's true.
As we did with, you know, our 84, 85, or 85, 86, what was it? I don't know. I wasn't born. 84. So.
84. Yeah. It was the 84 team, I think.
I want to see the Marvel effect.
They play well at Marvel, though.
They do. But I want to see the difference. I just want to see the difference from last year.
I just can't get this thought out of my head. St Kilda run, and they run, and they run. Yeah, and they retain the ball, and they'll just like with the transition, with the worst transition team in the league.
Brad Scott, just don't allow the transition. Push players to the contest.
Yeah,
don't let the defenders get so high up the ground because you know what Higgins loves more than anything. And out the back goal. I'm going to paint you a picture. Can you just see the ball flying over Ben McKay's head? And who's waiting at the back there? Who's waiting multiple at the back?
Times. Yeah, multiple times. That's what worries me.
That's what
running into
loves.
Open goals.
Loves it. So why are they instructing Ben McKay and co to push so far high up the ground? I reckon with Callie and Redmond, I don't reckon we'll see that. I reckon it's the Redmond-Callie effect with them back. I don't think we'll see them pushing that high up the ground. Can I ask you a question? If Peter Wright was playing, would you be tipping a win?
Yeah, potentially.
If we took the team that we took to Sydney.
The thing about Peter Wright is, like, anywhere in or near the 50, and I'm backing him for a goal, like, we don't – it's such a weapon. Such a weapon. We saw it last week. Like, we were so efficient. We were efficient the week before. And he was looking better and better too, because we know how much footy he missed last week.
Last year,
I beg your pardon. So
this is my thing about the transition shit. Like, we did so much wrong. If on a sheet you put all your faults, and if you're ticking 5 out of 6, but that sixth one is just it's the crux of all your faults.
The Achilles heel, yeah.
The Achilles heel. How are we not, like, I'm looking at last week and I did not feel that gut-wrenching feeling the next day, aside from the 2 metre Peter thing. I was up and about. I never watch replays of the loss. Never. I mean, we all know that I absolutely take to church when we win the replays.
Unhelpfully amount of times.
Correct. I'm admitting that, but I was buoyant. We were efficient. I loved the forward, the lowering of the eyes more into the forward line. I loved the contested footy. We were doing so much better. And I don't know, but the positives stood out more than that. Of course, we were abysmal in the transitions. But I don't know. If you've got – I saw that Brad Scott's got his list of things he wants to fix, and he's fixed 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6. But number 5 is just eluding him at the moment, because to fix 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6, 5 had to take the back seat a bit. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I was really buoyed by last week. But if they drop off in any of that contested footy, in any of that aggression, if they get gun shy because the media's taken us to fucking hell and back this week, if they get gun shy on this Essendon fucking edge thing, I'm gonna blow my shit. They've got to keep that aggression.
That's a really good point, Fiona, and that's a great, like, wild card. I can imagine the umpire's been right on it as well.
Oh, God, I didn't think
suddenly, because we are, what are we? We've been for the last, 11, 12 years now with a naughty kid in class, and even when another kid on the other side of the room throws a duster at the whiteboard, we're blamed. We're always in trouble.
I'm getting pre-annoyed.
We, you know who we are? We're little in those jokes. We're little Johnny. That's who we are in all the jokes about school. We're little Johnny.
Give me strength. Any little niggle, they're going to be calling us, aren't they?
Yeah.
Any little jumper hold that looks like it's a bit of a melee, they're going to just call us. Oh God.
The only counterpoint might be the Saints were so favoured last week. The umpires might think, well, we need to make sure we're not so biased this week, potentially.
Because it was talked about and, yeah.
Correct. Because it's all about optics. It's all about optics.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with that.
Well, I hope you're right. And I hope you're right more broadly in that we win. Ready for a Cats question?
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
Okay. Just for any listeners, Fiona's couch, these are non-football.
They can be football, though.
They can be. Yeah. But people come to Fiona. She's kind of like, you remember the Oracle from the Matrix movies? She's kind of like the Oracle. She sits there and...
Amateur sleuth. Mm.
Yeah. It gives wisdom that people have found very helpful. So, this question is, I have some embarrassing... annoying habits, and it makes me feel like, it makes me feel like I'll be alone forever.
Oh,
what do I do?
Oh,
well, you probably will be alone with that attitude.
Stop it! No, actually, no. The fact that you're actually saying it and verbalizing it and putting it out there—that's the reason you won't be alone forever. It's the people who are in denial that they have any bad habits and that they're perfect and they don't have anything to work on. You have hope, my friend. You have hope because guess what? We all have bad habits. We all have embarrassing habits. But it's actually being self-aware that's going to motivate you to perhaps work on those things or just accept them in yourself, in you. Because guess what? In society, we see the highlight reel of everybody on social media. We don't see their annoying habits and embarrassing traits, but we all got them. We all have them. No. And it's just about finding your person who has those, whose embarrassing traits fit your embarrassing traits.
No one's ever looked at an Instagram photo and smelt a fart.
That's right. So
having said that, let me ask you a question. You meet the perfect guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good looking, you know, great personality. He's an Essendon supporter, of course.
That doesn't sound right. It's the good-looking ones that usually don't have the good personalities.
But anyway, he's got it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What habits would be a deal-breaker for you? These are habits that he can't change. So let me go through a few. And you can.
Okay.
He picks his nose.
Nah, not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker?
Nah. Next.
He eats it.
Oh, God. Oh, that's a deal breaker. I mean, it depends how often. Is this a
That habit? Wasn't hard. That wasn't is hard.
That's just...
You walk into the lounge room and he's up to his elbow in his nostril.
If I saw it once, I'd be like, if you do that again and I see it, this is over. I'm out of here. Because that's just unhygienic. That just comes down to being, like, clean and not gross. And germs. That's what I think. Germs. Ew.
Cigarette smoker.
Oh, no. I'm an absolute no to smoking. Like, cannot be a social smoker. Cannot. I'm a chronic asthmatic. So if I walk past someone who's just had a smoke, they're not even smoking, but they've just had a smoke, I start wheezing. I've got to take 6 puffs of Ventolin. I'm on steroids for the rest of my life, like morning and night. Yeah. I for my health, like I would die. I think I would actually be buried if I couldn't be with a smoker. I also find it disgusting, so no.
What if he or she vapes?
Oh God, no. Nah, gross.
We find it's pretty easy.
Those are deal breakers. Yeah, I know that they're easy things. Yeah, yeah.
What about he is a rabid Carlton supporter?
I mean, and you know what?
he hates Essendon and says so.
Ooh, okay, that changes the dice a little bit. Oh yeah, that would be really tough, and he'd have to be open to not verbally assaulting Essendon in any way, mm-hmm. or else I wouldn't be able to. You can support who you want, because as we've ascertained, you can't choose who you support. It's in your blood, you grow up with it. So not really his fault. However, it is his fault and his responsibility if he's verbally attacking the family I love. So, excuse me, how did this become pros and cons of who I date of my dating life?
What?
Back to the couch.
No. It basically because you sort of said, no, there's no habits that should stop you from dating. I just thought, well, I'll scratch the surface and we'll see if that's a problem.
Those habits shouldn't stop those people from dating. They just need to find the people who are not despised. But there are going to be people who don't mind if you smoke. There are going to be people who don't mind if you eat your boogers. I just personally, that's just an aversion for me. But there's going to be somebody out there who eats their boogers too. You just got to find the fellow booger eater. That's all.
Yeah, that would be no. My advice to he or she would be, fix your annoying habits. Make yourself better. Or yourself. Improve yourself.
No, that's terrible advice. Do not. You are who you are. If there are annoying habits in that you're aggressive to your co-workers, that is not a habit. That's a personality trait. A habit is like, you burp too much or you sing badly, but you sing anyway. That is a habit. That is part of the makeup of who you are. You cannot change that. The second you start to change that, you get into a relationship with someone who's dating you, but not the real you. So in 10 years time, you're going to resent that person. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to divorce that person.
But my take or my spin is, they're embarrassing, annoying. You're probably not happy with them. Improve yourself. Do it for you. I got one more for you.
This is Fiona's couch, and if you're listening to, if you ever wrote that, that was terrible advice, and it is dependent on what the actual habit in inverted commas is. But don't listen to the solution. That's terrible advice.
I got one more habit for you.
Okay.
Right, so this is like this. This guy's perfect, right? But he has Tourette's. And every 2 minutes, he goes, fuck! And screams. And it could be weddings, funerals, work, family events.
No, that wouldn't put me off.
There you go. To anyone out there with Tourette's.
Yeah, definitely not. If you are ticking the boxes in every other box, mainly, and let me be clear, it's not about being good looking. If you are self-aware, if you've worked on yourself,
He is ticking because he's got Tourette's, so there's lots of ticking. He's got ticks. Sorry,
I was just going to say, if you're ticking the main boxes that I value, then a little bit of Tourette's wouldn't push me away.
A little bit of Tourette's. Oh, that's a tragic disease, that one, I must say. I really feel for those people. But there's very inspiring stories of people who actually live with it and live healthy, successful lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like there is with every ailment. That's why that advice is terrible. You know, fix yourself. It's about, you know, using what you got, basically. And accepting that your habits and your intricacies are you, and that, you know, unless they're causing somebody else harm.
Come on, let's be real. If you've got hygiene problems, just sort yourself, dude. Have a wash.
It's the people.
Come on, your people.
But it's the people who don't think they have hygiene problems that have it. Not this guy who's self-aware, or girl.
Yes.
She's clearly self-aware. But it's the ones, oh, God, there's a stinker at my gym. Oh, it's so eye-watering that I could be facing the opposite direction and I know when he walks in the gym, which is 100 metres away.
No.
Yes, it is so eye-wateringly bad. It makes, it's absolutely
horrendous.
Someone
needs to tap him, man.
I know. I see other fellow, because he's an older gentleman, I see other guys, and he's there every day. I see other guys talking to him, and I just think to myself, how are you even conversing with this person without blurting out, can I get you a stick of deodorant, mate?
This is where you need Larry David to go up and just say it.
Do these people just not shower, or are they wearing the same clothes? Like, how do you get such a...
I think it's the same clothes. It's often the same clothes, I guess.
Without washing, with no washing in
between. So I've just got my gym clothes. I'll just wear them every time.
Yeah, it's awful. And I try not to... I physically just have to remove myself from the section he's in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if this is the dude you definitely need to sort yourself out.
I thought you were going to say, buddy, if Mr. Perfect stank like that.
No. Hygiene, come on. Wash yourself. Anyway, big week in football land and Essendon land and podcast land, I guess. So we'll be back with a podcast on Monday. Hopefully it's a successful win that we're talking about. Lots of great feedback, by the way, this week about the forecast as well.
You.
So thanks to everyone that gave us terrific feedback, and to all the trolls, keep it coming. I love it. But yeah, on that note, thanks to everyone.
You can keep it coming to him. I don't.
Yeah, keep it coming to me, and I won't respond to you except to correct your grammar errors.
I keep them to though. Like I don't have that many because I don't liaise with them. But there's a couple, and I have them all. They're all in my drafts. Because I don't actually press send, but I'm so tempted, I have to write it out.
Look, it's not that many, but in times past, there's been lots. And what I would do is I'd just I'd just scroll and just laugh, but then almost just randomly pick someone and go with them. But usually, this is not a word of a lie. I've never lost an argument to a troll. Mainly,
who's measuring that?
By the record, don't let the record show. But it's nothing to do with me or my intelligence. It's just that the people that react and come at you are generally just so dim and so dim-witted that it's easy. They can barely string
it together. They leave themselves wide open.
Oh, yeah.
For someone like you, who's so eloquent and so intelligent, they just
know. I wouldn't go that far, but that's just, I'm punching down anyway.
That's because you're very level-headed as well.
Yeah. I mean, we did have,
we had one that almost grounded the podcast this week.
Yeah, we did have a negative one, but I mean, I did have one, and we've become like online Twitter friends, I guess you'd say. He's a really nice guy, but there was one guy who did threaten to find me, to come and find me and reveal me and maybe come and confront me physically. But then the next day he apologized and said, hey, sorry, I was emotional. And I'm like, hey, dude, I get it. We're all emotional. We're all emotional. So
that's self-awareness. You fucked up, and you come to the party and you own up. Love that.
If you haven't made a mistake, congratulations. Put your hand up.
You're a liar.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake. And we'll see you on Monday.
See you guys.
Ciao.
Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and runs.